ladies and gentlemen, members of the gallery, councillors and members of the executive, please remain upstanding while I read the opening prayer and reconciliation statement. And the opening prayer reads, Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
The reconciliation statement reads, Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you. You may be seated. Item number 2, apologies and leave of absence.
Nil, Madam Mayor. Oh, sorry, Councillor Dunn.
Councillor Dunn's an apology. Item number 3, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Yes.
Councillor Carley.
Yes, Madam Chair. I have a conflict of interest on item 8.5.
Thank you, Councillor. Number 4, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. Councillor Borg.
I would like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 30th of April 2013 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Do I have any councillor who needs further clarification? Do I have a seconder?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Number 5, petitions and joint letters.
No, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Item number 6, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
No, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Item number 7, public question time. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Our first question this evening is from Mr. David O'Connor. He's in the gallery. Question is, I make reference to the attached public question time response with respect to the Neighbourhood House Strategic Framework Report. In accordance with that response, it was anticipated that a draft report would be available for community feedback in late August, early September 2012. Would Council advise the current status of the draft report? I'll ask Murray Heaney, General Manager, Community Services, to respond.
Thank you. Through you, Madam Mayor. David, we have been doing a bit of work on neighbourhood houses generally right across the municipality. I do acknowledge that that report is very late, but it's a very in-depth report. I'll ensure that our officers contact you personally tomorrow, send that we send you that correspondence, and also we'll follow that up in writing. So we'll give you our commitment. Thank you.
Next question, Madam Mayor, is from Wendy Batans, who's in the gallery. Question reads, re 15.4 in Council agenda. Is Melton Council proposing to also spend a voluntary contribution of $36,764 on promoting a no-case campaign for the forthcoming referendum so that all Melton City ratepayers are appraised of their responsibilities, with Council having to answer to Canberra for funds received instead of answering to the Melton City ratepayers who elected the Melton City Councillors? This obviously refers to a later item in tonight's agenda, and Council hasn't resolved that it will make that contribution. It's a recommendation coming forward for Council consideration. Council has consistently adopted the position of supporting the Yes case, for financial recognition of local government in the Federal Constitution, and would simply point to the some $22+ million of federal funding that Council has received directly from the federal government over the last 18 months. It is, I suppose, a position that Council has taken, having weighed up what all the options were and what the potential impact of a decision that the federal government can't directly fund local government may have on future opportunities to provide facilities and services into this community. So There will be a no case presented, as well as a yes case, by the federal government. The federal government have allocated $11.6 million to educate or conduct a civics education process with the Australian community. It is a campaign, it is a referendum being conducted by the federal government, so it's appropriate that the federal government conduct the education element in that regard to ensure there is full knowledge amongst the community on what they're voting on. What council is considering tonight is whether it will contribute to a voluntary yes campaign that the Australian Local Government Association, supported by the Municipal Association of Victoria, is proposing to run, and that will be determined on the basis of how much funding comes forward from the large number of local governments across Australia. Next question is from Michael Matuluski, who's in the gallery, who says, in regards to public questions in question time, why is it that members of the CCWRA are not getting written responses to many of the questions that they submit? From conversations with Melton residents, and they have also said they are not receiving written responses. Why is this the case? It's very hard to answer a generalist proposition like that without going back and checking council records, but we do keep copies of all correspondence, and I can provide copies of all questions asked by CCWRA members and all responses that we have made. We do from time to time get letters returned to us by Australia Post, and the address to which we send any letter is the address that's listed on the question form. So from time to time that doesn't coincide with someone's postal address, but you know that's the address that's provided. I'm happy to entertain any specific question or have a discussion with you about any specific matters that haven't been responded in writing. I believe the new proposed local law clarifies more directly the manner of response than what currently is in the current local law. The written response is actually a courtesy response. The question is addressed at the council meeting. That's the general premise of the current local law. But I'm happy to discuss that with you. Next question is from Nathan Miles, who's also in the gallery. Question is, the Cambridge, Coburn and Watts Residents Association have not received any written responses for 7 public questions that have been lodged legally at council meetings this year. Why is the council intentionally discriminating against Cambridge, Coburn and Watts Residents Association and not responding in writing to questions submitted by that association? I again repeat my previous response. I'm not aware of us not responding to any of the questions, and I'm, like I said, I will research it and find out what the reason is that that appears to have been the outcome. But it is certainly a focus that we do respond to all questions, and I realise Mr. Miles spoke to me last meeting about one question that hadn't been responded to. There were specific circumstances around that, being in getting the information from the Australia Post end. I accept that we should have written to you and advised that we were having delays in getting that response. But that being said, I believe a response has now been provided in the last couple of days.
Clarification,
sure. I was advised it was sent out on Friday, so happy to check that. Next question is from David O'Connor also. According to the Melton City Council current rate notice, payment options include cheque remittance in person via Australia Post. This unfortunately does not seem to be the case. Would Council please confirm that rates can be paid at Australia Post by way of cheque? And unfortunately I can't confirm that for you tonight, Mr. O'Connor, but I will research it and respond to you and clarify if our communication is incorrectly stating what the payment options are. And the last question for this evening is from Alan Fairweather, and Mr. Fairweather's in the gallery. His question is, in the meeting procedure local law 2013, it is proposed in item 6.9 that the time for putting questions in on a public question form be changed to 5 p.m. instead of 7 p.m. This will inconvenience a lot of people who come from work in the city from putting in a question at a council meeting. I accept that that's one view you could take of that provision. However, the rationale behind the change in time, I think, bears some explanation, and that is that taking questions up till 7 p.m, the meeting starts at 7 p.m, so we have Mr. Hogan cleaning the box out at 7 p.m. as we're walking in. And as you will observe tonight, there are a couple of questions that we can't answer because they're quite detailed, they're quite specific and quite detailed, and it's impossible to have answers to those. So the intent is that if we have questions closing off at 5 p.m, we will then have 2 hours from when the questions close to when the meeting starts to get those answers and provide the answers to the council meeting. I believe that is a far better outcome for people who are proposing questions than to get an answer, I take it on notice and I'll get back to you. It's also a fact that there are, between council meetings, either 28 or 35 days in which a resident can submit a question, and it can be submitted via either snail mail, email, it can even be submitted by ringing up and asking one of our customer service officers to transcribe a question on your behalf. There are lots and lots and lots of options to submit questions, and I believe that this is proposing a better system. That being said, council, in considering the draft local law, will take into account all submissions that are received, and I will treat this as a submission for the purpose of council considering the local law. And we do encourage people to make their views known, so I appreciate your comments. Thank you, Madam Mayor. That completes public question time. I believe there were 2 questions from you that we responded to, weren't there? Maybe it got stuck to the other one. Cambridge, Coburn, Watts Residents Association have not received any written response.
That was the one you put in at 7 o'clock. Yeah, okay. That's fine. We read that one. It must have been on before.
Okay. I'm sorry. I must have got caught up with another one. Regarding agenda item 8.8 on tonight's agenda. Okay. My apologies for... Residents have the opportunity once a month only to ask council public questions. The proposed changes in tonight's agenda restrict the openness and transparency of council to the community and are open to be seriously abused, misused and silence the community. Does council believe these proposed changes are democratic, fair or just, considering council is currently failing to respond in writing to public questions? Well, I guess my response to the previous question from Mr. Fairweather goes some of the way towards responding to this question, so I won't repeat myself in that regard. In relation to failing to respond in writing public questions, I will research that, but I am under the impression that we do respond to all public questions that are submitted, and certainly in the new local law it's quite clear that all questions are to be responded to in writing, is my understanding of the provision, without quoting the specific provision. All I can say is that I have outlined the reasons behind the change to 5 p.m. If anybody is particularly aggrieved by that, then I believe, you know, there is a process for those comments to be made. But I do hark back to the fact that if you want a response on the evening of the council meeting, it's probably going to be a more satisfying response if officers actually have time to research and go back through some files and check with other officers who have been dealing with matters directly. So, I mean, there's a balance, I guess, and we felt the 5 o'clock was a reasonable balance. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Story. Councillors, moving on to item number 8, presentation of staff reports. Going on to 8.1, authorising of affixing the common seal of council. Councillor Borg.
Madam Mayor, if I may, I would like to move item 1 and in block the following reports. I would like to, accepting all recommendations, those items being item 1, item 3, item 4, item 6, item 9, item 10, item 11, item 12, and item 14.
Councillors, we have Councillor Borg's moving a motion to move in block items 8.1, 8.3, 8.4, 8.6, 8.9, 8.10, 8.11, 8.12 and 8.14. Do I have a seconder for this motion?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification? Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Moving on to 8.2, Jerriwarra Festival Committee Minutes, 9th of May 2013, presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening the minutes of the Jerriwarra Festival Advisory Committee of their meeting held on the 9th of May 2013 for Council's consideration and adoption of the recommendations contained within. The Jerriwarra Festival Advisory Committee is a key community committee dedicated to the planning and delivery of the annual Jerriwarra Festival. The appointment of the committee supports the ongoing planning and preparation of this signature event and encourages a diverse program of opportunities that will achieve maximum community participation. The minutes attached, Madam Mayor, for Council's consideration are included as Appendix 1 on page 11 and 12 of this agenda. The key items that were considered within the meeting on that date are largely around the format and renewal of the whole parade that is conducted at the start of the festival, including the hosting of the parade theme, as well as other consideration of matters on the night relating to the mascot. Thank you, Councillor Hall. The mascot attending school visits and other promotional activities, as well as the committee considering the level of entertainment and other such ancillary activities that are often known and found to be the heart and soul of the Jerriwarra Festival. There was also discussion around things that work and things that don't work in regard to various aspects of the committee, and also the annual election of the office bearers being the first meeting of the year. So the minutes as printed and the recommendations contained within, Madam Mayor, are on pages 11 and 12. The Council, the recommendation is printed on page 9 that the unconfirmed minutes of the Festival Advisory Committee meeting dated 9 May be noted, and that Council adopt the recommendations of the committee as detailed in the unconfirmed minutes appended to this report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Councillors, do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification? Councillor Turner.
No clarification, but I'd like to move an alternative motion.
Councillor Turner, you'd like to move an alternative motion? Go ahead.
Yes, please. I'd like to move that, number one, the unconfirmed minutes of the Jerriwarra Festival Advisory Committee meeting of 9th of May 2013 be noted, and two, Council accept only the recommendation to undertake a review of the Jerriwarra Festival branding and marketing.
Councillor Turner has moved an alternate recommendation. Do I have a seconder for that alternate recommendation?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. Do I have any councillor who opposes the recommendation?
I'll oppose it just for the sake of discussion, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey. We now enter into debate. Councillor Turner.
I'll reserve my right for reply.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Ramsey.
As my first meeting of the Jerriwarra Festival Committee, I'm struck and overwhelmed by a festival that's been running for 35 years, and over the last couple of years it's been tweaked, as in locations, they've played around with the starting and the finishing of the parade, and quite a lot of detail has been spent in getting, and also where the bonfire and then the fireworks, where they were let off, and last year we ended up having them on the Oval a mountain rec reserve, and it's proven to be one of the best sites to date. Now, the committee, who is largely made up of two of the founding organisations, being the Lions and also the CFA, and a whole heap of dedicated community volunteers, saw that the presentation of trophies for the parade caused a little bit of division amongst the community. I know it probably doesn't, but it also, we want to make our parade and our festival the best it can be, and I could only take it from the experts that were sitting around that table, and they unanimously supported that for at least the next 12 months to see how we go. Also, in regards to theming, apparently there was a lot of discussion, a lot of feedback came back to the committee in regards to the theme put an onerous task on some of the schools that couldn't afford to become elaborate, that they wanted to take part in the parade, and I didn't want to. And so when it came to those two, I'm there putting up the festival committee's position, and that's why the recommendations were as stated. Also because the parade is such an iconic feature of the festival, it costs a lot of money for security and other things, which whittles away the final act of the night. And so what has become very apparent to me as a sitting councillor is we probably need to inject a little bit more dollars into the Jerawarra Festival to cater for the security aspect of it, so we don't whittle away some of the activities that could be a community event. I'll leave it at that. In fact, if I would like to see the equivalent money but security, whatever the cost of security coming, being added to, additional money being added to what's allocated for the Jerawarra Festival. So when deciding on acts, because we're doing that currently, we're not, because it's getting very hard to find an act that is within that budget, and that's become a very sticky point.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Ball.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As you're aware, I sat on that committee for 4 years, and this never came up in my time of any division or certainly infighting within the community. And I know I talk on behalf of Coburn Primary when we do the Jerawarra Festival. It's quite an exciting time for us, and the awards don't motivate us, but it's something to aspire to, and it's certainly... it's good for us teachers when we're encouraging the kids to say, come on kids, you know, put on your best smile, give your wave to the judges, you know, because there's we can, you know, get an award. I think it's a great recognition of the hard work that the community do go to, and I think we talk a lot about traditions in our community and how things have started, and, you know, it perhaps might not have started with awards at the start. I recognise that, but certainly I think it value adds to the parade. I certainly don't take away from the volunteers on the Jerawarra Festival community. They work very hard and they give up their Tuesday nights and a lot of debate, not only that, on their weekends and on the day. But I think we have to think about the bigger picture. I don't think it's about competition. I think it's about recognition. And I think we can recognise everyone. I know we get certificates handed back to us to say thank you for your participation. But I think those who do go the extra mile and perhaps... I can't comment on the judging of the parades, but from what I've seen, it's not the most elaborate stalls which get those recognitions or the trophies. It's what they bring to the community and to the parade. So that's why I'm in support of Councillor Turner's motion. I think we need to continue it. I think it adds to the parade, and I think that is the highlight, not the act which happens at night, because that's our community, not the person that we fly in to perform.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. Does any other councillor wish to speak on this alternate recommendation? Councillor Turner, you have the right of reply.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think it's more to do with the basic community feel of the whole parade. And although it's not just that on the day, I mean, the theme gives everybody a bit of a target to hit out, if you like. It gives all the community groups and schools a bit of a push to find something that fits in with the theme. A lot of it's with the parade and all the rest is tradition in Milton. As Sophie says, it may not have always been awards, but I mean, let's face it, in our budget, we can't afford $200 for a Qtopias to give away to the youth or the community groups or something far wrong. And as Broden says, and I'll reiterate what he says on that, it's not always the biggest flashes before the winds. When the judging's done, you've seen over the years, it could be a small community school or whatever get wins an award. It might not be the main award, they still get an award. And it just gives all the schools something to aim at, something to encourage your kids. The community groups spend many weeks beforehand building their floats and putting it all together. And I think it makes a really good community event. And to say we're not going to have a theme, well, that can be debatable, I suppose. But certainly with the trophy side of things, I think it's just humble. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, could I just seek clarification just before the vote, if that's okay? If we don't go ahead with the recommendations as is and with the printing of the programs and everything else to happen within the next couple of weeks leading up to the November parade, are the timeframes for the festival committee going to be enough to come up with a theme now in the shortness of that time frame, and what's going to be the issues around that?
Through you, Madam Mayor, to the council. I think that there's many options available as far as consideration of this. So I think that they could call a special meeting. I wouldn't think it's absolutely critical the programs need to be printed within the next 2 weeks in order for the event to be a great success in November. We still have a reasonable amount of lead time. I also think it really depends on how detailed someone wants to make a theme. It could be as simple as making it a carnival theme. It doesn't need to be like the 150 last year, which I believe some people did have some challenges in trying to embrace as far as how to do it in a cost-effective way. Some people did go all out, but probably had the opportunity to go all out, like the Historical Society and those sorts of people. So it really is about just what you make of it. And I think I have heard some councillors say that it's not necessarily the best dressed float that wins the award. It's perhaps about the level of participation. It's about the level of engagement. It's about the vibe or the mood of the people who are within that float that may win it for them. It's not necessarily the colour of the float or how it's put together. But I certainly don't think that would be a restriction for us, and maybe we can work with council to try and get some resolution to go back to the committee in that regard.
Okay, let's take the vote. All those in favour of Councillor Turner's alternate recommendation, please raise your hand. All those against, I therefore declare it carried. Thank you, councillors. Moving to agenda item 8.5. Public Hospital Advisory Committee minutes, 9th of April 2013. Thank you, Councillor Carley. Okay, 8.5, Public Hospital Advisory Committee minutes, 9th of April 2013. Presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's been a great pleasure to present to Council this evening the minutes of the first meeting held of the Public Hospital Advisory Committee, which was held on the 9th of April 2013. Public Hospital for Milton Advisory Committee is the community committee which provides advice to Council on advocacy and promotional strategies for the establishment of a 24-hour general public hospital within Milton Municipality. This report presents the minutes and recommendations arising from that meeting, which are attached as Appendix 1. The committee took a number of forms, and it was really sort of an engagement and an information session. The Chief Executive Officer presented to the meeting details as to the previous council actions and advocacy work that had taken place in regard to this initiative. the General Manager of Community Services, Mr. Maurie Heaney, presented the democratic makeup of this municipality as it stands today, the health pressures and the wider context of the Municipal Health and Wellbeing Strategy and the Strategic Health Forum. The community need for a hospital and the impact on individuals requiring care was discussed at length and formed the backbone of, I guess, what the community discussion was around at that meeting. Council's Coordinator of Strategic Planning presented the land use planning and development schemes affecting the municipality over the next 30 years, noting that the population will reach 380,000 by the year 2046. Proposed health precinct within the area, currently referred to as Toolan, was discussed, and it is important to note, Madam Mayor, that there is no land currently identified as a future site of a 24-hour general hospital. The need to consolidate the three petitions that have been circulating within the municipality was agreed as a very important item that needs to be addressed in the immediate future, as was the need to significantly raise the number of signatures from the present number of 6,500 to in excess of 20,000 in order to have some recognition and some standing with the state government. I present to Council, Madam Mayor, the recommendations contained in the minutes on page 64. There are three recommendations set out on there, and the actual Council consideration for a recommendation are on page 61, which state that the unconfirmed minutes of the Public Hospital for Melton Advisory Committee meeting of 9 April 2013 be noted, and two, that Council endorsed the recommendations as detailed in the minutes of the Public Hospital for Melton Advisory Committee meeting held on 9 April 2013, which are attached as Appendix 1. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification regarding this item? Do I have a mover for this recommendation?
I'll move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. If we could ask Councillor Carley back into the chamber, please. Thank you, councillors. I turn your attention to item agenda number 8.7, Home and Community Care, HAC Funding 2013/14, presented by Mr. Maurie Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and councillors. Look, this report to provide an overview of our success in additional funding from the state government for what's known as our HAC services. Our HAC services are home and community care services that we provide to residents of our community that are requiring those services. Those services are such things for services for older or frail aged people, people with disability or their carers. And the other types of services that are provided are basically assessment services that go out and assess our clients or residents for need of those services. Planned activity groups that occur within the municipality, and there's a number of those in the township in the Eastern Corridor, and they're growing. Property maintenance, where council has its own resource to go out and assist those clients in their home, and we're funded for some of that. And personal care, where our direct care staff within that service unit go out and actually provide direct care to clients in their home, assisting them when in need, if possible. Madam Mayor and councillors, we did advocate to the Department of Health for additional funding, as we always do for all of our services. We did have the discussions one-on-one with the Department of Health, but also we included in those discussions other providers within the municipality, such as Jawara Health Services and the Rural District Nursing Services. So council is not the only provider of HAC services. There are other providers in the city. It's fair to say that we've had a successful outcome, and the outcome has resulted in council receiving an extra in excess of $245,000 for the next financial year to deliver some of these services, taking into account the growth within the city and our older demographic in generally. It isn't the only amount of funding we get. We are funded somewhat up to around about $2.5 million in that area. So it's a great news story, Madam Mayor and Councillors. We'll continue to advocate to the state government. On this situation, it is the Department of Health and it's a positive outcome. So I just put forward to you tonight, the recommendation is really just for Council to receive and note the outcome of this report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney, and indeed a good news story for our municipality. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a mover?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this motion that council receive and note this report.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a seconder?
I'd also like to second the report, but also go ahead and say this comes about from a whole heap of advocacy that we just don't see that goes on behind the scenes. So congratulate the relevant departments.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 8.8, Meeting Procedure Local Laws 2013, presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present another report to Council, this one being the Draft Meeting Procedure Local Law 2013. An officer's report seeking approval for the making of a new Meeting Procedure Local Law was previously presented to Council at its meeting held on 9th of April 2013. Attached as Appendix 1 is a copy of that Council report. The motion to approve this request was put, but lapsed for the want of a seconder. Concerns were expressed that led to the rejection of the officer's recommendation have been put in a revised version in a draft Meeting Procedure Local Law, which is now attached as Appendix 2. As a consequence of further investigation, consultation and advice at Council's direction, items pertaining to a public question time have been changed, and the process defining public debate of a motion have also been changed. Just in short, Madam Mayor, because much presentation and in regard to this matter was done at the last meeting, but just I'll highlight a couple of salient points that have changed from the previous recommendation to the current one, and they relate to three specific things. The first being the original draft sought to impose a 20-minute time limit for this agenda item or public question time. It was the view of Council that this may restrict public engagement and transparency, and as such that provision has been removed. Also in the original draft, it was sought to impose a 2-minute time limit duration on each question, inclusive of the answer. It was also the view of Council that this may restrict public engagement and transparency, so once again this provision has been removed from the revised draft. There was also further clarification sought from Council in regard to persons wishing to abstain from voting, which have now been addressed, and the final matter for consideration was in regard to changing the process of debate to allow councillors to speak even if no councillor opposes the motion, which is not currently the case, and the revised draft Meeting Procedure Local Law as attached has also had this matter incorporated into it. So, Madam Mayor, in order to commence the process to put this out for public submission and receive submissions in regard to this under Section 223 of the Local Government Act 1989, I present to the recommendation which is set out in four parts on page 71 for Council's consideration and adoption. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, if public question time gets to the point where it's gotten previous months and it needs to be adjourned, even though question time's currently where it sits today, in the same, is there the ability for councillors to move that to up before confidential items on the agenda so we can do council's business with not being hindered by some of the activities that have gone past in the previous months?
Through you, Madam Mayor, to Councillor Ramsey. Yes, Council has the power under procedural motion to move any items within the agenda to another place if it deems it more appropriate or due to circumstances that may avail themselves during the course of the meeting.
Councillor Ramsey.
In regards to the penalties as well, because I know the other things have been amended, can you tell me, has there ever been a fine issued for, I know there's increased penalties, but has there ever been a fine issued?
not to my knowledge, Madam Mayor, to Councillor Ramsay, not to my knowledge in this council in the last 10 years, certainly, but I'm not aware of any fine that's been issued at this council for a breach of the meeting procedure local law.
Councillors, any further questions? Do I have a mover for this motion?
I'll move the motion, Madam Mayor.
Do I have a seconder for this motion?
I'm pleased to second this motion.
Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion?
I'll rise to only to oppose it just for discussion purposes.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Borg.
I'll reserve my right, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Ramsay.
Okay. Madam Mayor, there's only one part in this meeting procedure that troubles me, and it's been a subject of many discussions. I've had numerous phone calls with relevant local government departments. Can I just touch on a letter from Kendra Pope, the Acting Executive Director of Local Government Victoria, in regards to the change in voting for councillors, where abstention has become an option. The letter has been written to councillors saying, basically, Local Government Act affecting voting. Concerns have been raised that the absence of statutory obligations for councillors to vote invites individuals or deliberately abstaining from participating in important decisions. This is not the case. Councillors, when elected, take the oath of office, affirming that they will carry out their duties of their position in the best interests of the community and will faithfully and impartially carry out the powers, functions, authorities and discretions vested in them to the best of their abilities and judgment. While no penalties apply where a councillor chooses to abstain from voting, the decision should not be taken lightly. Not participating in decisions taken by council is an abrogation of a council's responsibility to represent their community. Abstentions also serve to undermine the role of council in providing governance and leadership through effective decision making. So, in that regard, while I realise the recent amendments to the Local Government Act now effectively provide the councillors to remain in a meeting, take part in the debate and abstain from voting, I want to raise my concerns. Again, councillors are elected to represent their community to make decisions. This is an onerous and challenging responsibility, but that is what we're elected to do, and the community expects that from us. I see abstaining from voting as a failure to live up to the oath we take to carry out our duties of office of a councillor in the best interests of the community. It also fails to give our officers direction. I note the circular where it says, from which I've read out, not participating in decisions taken by council is an abrogation of councillors' responsibility to represent their community. Abstentions to also serve to undermine the role of council in providing governance and leadership through effective decision making. Council implying that the provisions of the draft local law need to keep this advice at the forefront of their minds. I will closely be monitoring how frequently councils abrogate their responsibility, and if these provisions are abused, I will move to have the local law amended.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Any councillor who wishes to speak on this matter? Councillor Turner, before you do, I do actually want to speak on this matter, but I'd ask if you could take the chair, please. Councillors, I want to express my strong opinions that I have in regards to this new piece of legislation providing the provision for councillors to abstain from voting on a matter. Although I will not be objecting in the motion in the final vote, because I am fully aware that the new state government legislation must be implemented into council's local law procedure. However, I do not agree with this legislation at all, and I have actually spoken to the Minister of Local Government and expressed my views that I'd like to express today. The dictionary meaning of the word abstain means to refrain from using one's vote. It can be used many different reasons, being an abstention may be used to indicate the voting individual's ambivalence about the measure or mild disapproval that does not rise to the level of active opposition. Abstention can also be used when someone has a certain position about an issue, but since the popular sentiment supports the opposite, it might not be politically expedient to vote according to his or her conscience. Even though this new legislation of allowing a councillor to abstain from voting is now permitted, I do not believe it's right, nor do I feel that councillors should have that option to do so. I believe it is not fair to the residents who elected us into this position as their councillor. They had elected us to be their resounding voice. We as councillors are there to represent them. Can you imagine what council would be like if we all abstained from every single motion? With this piece of legislation, it is possible, even permitted. Councillors have to make difficult decisions all the time, and we have been sworn in to make the best possible decision that we believe we are making for the good of the entire community, for the common good of our municipality. Those decisions are many times tough to make because we can't always please everyone, but a decision needs to be made nevertheless. As elected members of this council, we are obliged to at least make a decision either way, because that's what we said to our residents we would do when we were running in elections last year in October. That is our obligation, that is our duty. When we choose to abstain, we are willfully gagging our residents. We are saying that what our residents have elected us to do on their behalf no longer matters. The legislation also states that we may choose to abstain because the debate isn't going our way. This is not in the spirit of what a councillor is elected to do, and I believe that our residents should know and be aware of what it means when one of their elected councillors choose to abstain from voting on a matter. As Councillor Ramsey has already spoken about the Acting Executive Director of Local Government, Kendria Pope, about the letter, my views are strong in this matter, councillors, and I firmly believe that my words would resound true together with those who elected me to represent them as a councillor in this great municipality. Thank you. Councillors, do I have any other comments or debate on this issue? Councillor Turner, you have the right of reply. No. Oh, sorry, Councillor Borg.
I didn't actually, as a seconder, I didn't say anything. I'd just like to say there's been a few changes to this motion since the last month, like the two-minute limit and things like that. I'm pleased with the changes.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Borg, you have the right of reply.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Firstly, I'd like to say I'm quite pleased with the changes. I think that it opens it up for the community to be a lot more engaged and feel more willing to put their questions in and hear the council respond to their concerns. On the matter of abstention, I see where my fellow councillors are coming for and coming from, I should say. And as a councillor who has abstained, correct me if I'm wrong, executive members, but when you're abstaining, it's essentially saying no to it anyway. But my view is, you know, it's a policy that has to come in, as things has been pointed out, and you have to use that. And I don't think any councillor around this table, and certainly over the past 4 years working with you all, none of us would take that lightly. But there's some times, and I know as I've taken my times, where there's been decisions that I just want no part of. And for me, when I abstain, that's saying I do not agree and I won't be a part of the decision to either put it through or not put it through, because my community, I know, would not be benefited. And I don't think it's gagging them. It's my opinion, with all due respect. I think it's saying to my residents, this is something the council is going toward. I want no part of it. I understand that once council agrees and resolves on it, I have to go out there and say and do and, you know, be in support of the council, and I'm willing to do that. But during the process, I should have the right, the democratic right, to either vote for, vote against or abstain, which is basically saying no anyway, but I really just don't agree, and I can't. And, you know, it's better, I'm not one of these, you know, for the sake of discussion. You know, I'm willing to discuss, and this isn't a slight to you, but I think abstaining means no, but I shouldn't have to come up here and, you know, speak for 5 minutes on why, when I go back and I answer to my community afterwards anyway, like we all do. They all come and see us after the meeting. And the media certainly put it out there, which make them come and call us and see us. So I think it's a good draft. I think it's a good local law, and I'm very pleased, Executive. I think you've done very well in your offices. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. I'll now be taking the vote. All those in favour of the new updated local law, raise your hand. All those against, I therefore declare the motion carried. Going on to agenda item 8.13, update on the implementation of the State Government Fire Services Levy, presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening the latest information on the introduction of the State Government Fire Services Levy and the progress Council has made towards the introduction, which will come into effect as of the 1st of July 2013. After the introduction of the State Government Fire Services Levy in September 2012, a report was presented to Council outlining the details of the proposed levy and setting out Council's responsibilities in collecting this levy via Council's rate notices. Unfortunately, up until recently, Council was not aware, as was any Victorian local council, of the rate that was going to be charged. We were advised of the flat fee that was to be imposed, but not the rate. We have since been advised of that, and we felt it was relevant to present, not only to Council, but to present to our community exactly what the costs of this State Government imposition will be, which Council, in fact, has to collect on its behalf. The necessary changes to Council's IT systems in collecting this levy have been managed by Council's auspicing body, the Municipal Association of Victoria, which has been dealing with directly with the IT vendors on behalf of all councils. The State Government has allocated funding for this purpose, and this has come at no cost to Council. The only cost involved to Council is in staff time in testing the changes and updating our property information as such. Council has been advised that an amount of $40,367 has been provided in the current financial year and $95,662 in the next financial year, being 2013-14, to offset the administrative costs imposed on Council in having to collect this fee. And this is based on costs linked to the number of properties subject to the levy, postage and the actual collection of the levy. The funding beyond 2013-14 will be determined following a review of the collection costs by the State Revenue Office. On page 237, Madam Mayor, is a table which sets out basically all of the different land categories that Council holds in its database and the application of the State Government Fire Services Levy on the average capital improved value within that category. So whilst obviously it doesn't pick the highest or the lowest, it just picks up the average value. It implies the fixed charge, which is $100 to basically residential or the general rate, as we would know, applied to properties, and $200 to extractive and commercial industrial type properties. And it also highlights the value of the rate in the dollar calculated against that valuation, hence showing you what the total amount of the charge will be. From a financial point of view, Madam Mayor, Council will be required to pay the levy on all land within its name and in the municipality. This cost will be offset by the reduction in insurance premiums paid under the current system, and that's what we have been advised all along from the State Government. The exact amount of the levy payable by Council is yet to be determined, as officers are still working on the correct classification to be used for the levy purpose. It is expected that Council will be out of pocket with the introduction of the levy, as with unlike Metropolitan Councils, we don't provide a levy to the Metropolitan Fire Brigade. We support the funding of the country, CFA, and as such we don't gain any real financial offset in this matter as set out. Attached as Appendix 1 is a letter received from the Treasurer of Victoria to Council outlining how the levy is going to be imposed. The information that's set out in the report tonight, Madam Mayor, is purely for information of Council and just with the assistance of the media that's here this evening, another way of getting out to our community what the community can expect when they receive their rate notices this year, with the inclusion and addition of this State Government Fire Services Levy on top of it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, thank you. So on my general rate, when the rate notice comes out to my house, apart from the proposed 4% increase, I stand, and every other resident stands, at looking at least $141.63. Is that correct?
That is correct, Councillor Ramsey, through Madam Mayor.
And how will that differentiate to myself and my neighbours and the ladies and gentlemen down the road what's the rate and what's the fire levy?
Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Ramsey, the Act prescribes, A, that Council has to collect the levy on behalf of the State Government, so that is not negotiable, and secondly, the legislation prescribes how it is to be presented on the rate notice. The rate notice is to have the two separate charges highlighted on the rate notice, being the total rates and charges levied against the property, which are the council rates and charges, and then there is a separate part underneath it which will have the State Government Fire Services levy, and then it is also prescribed that then there will be a total amount for the total amount payable at the base of the rate notice.
Madam Mayor, if I may, just one point. As we pay our rate instalments quarterly, will that $141, which is a medium, be allowable to be paid quarterly, or is this an upfront charge in the first quarter?
Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Ramsey, no, it will be allowed to be paid quarterly.
Councillors, any other further questions in regards to this matter?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Turner.
First, I'd like to say that I don't think our residents will see a reduction in their insurance of $140 this year. So I think we're all going to be behind eight ball right away. I'm not sure if Sophie's question was the same as mine. It might have been pretty close. My question was, what's the priority collection rates as opposed to fire service levy? Say some of our residents say, well, are you paying rates or not paying fire service levy? How do they stand there?
I throw you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Turner. It is a proportional collection basis. So if someone chooses to pay the general council's rates and charges and not pay the fire levy, it will be a direct proportion of the unpaid rates and charges will be applied to each of the charges.
Any further clarification? Councillor Cugliari.
I've got one question, Madam Mayor. The fire service levy, the amount shown on our rates, is that going to be an ongoing thing like every year?
Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Cugliari, that's correct. It's legislated.
Councillors, any further questions in regards to this item? Councillor Ramsey.
So, for the first time ever, I want to abstain, even after my discussion. I won't, but I want to. When it comes to, it says here, Melton does not contribute any levy to the MFB, like metropolitan councils. So there is definitely no gain coming back to Melton as a result of this, and it's also going to cost our ratepayers money to be a collection agency for the state government. Is that correct, especially in the first year?
Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Ramsey. The intention of the administration for the collection costs that we're receiving fees for, the intention of that is that that will by and large offset the direct cost of collection. The thing that will cost council is currently we will be rated and charged for all of the vacant land or open space that we have. The levy will be applied to that, so we have to pay that cost. Some metropolitan councils or all metropolitan councils have to make a council contribution, which is generated through council's rates and charges to the Municipal Metropolitan Fire Brigade, and we don't do that as such. We don't collect those rates per se. So where their residents potentially have a windfall where they don't have to directly fund the Metropolitan Fire Brigade, because it's all now done through the state government. The state government will fund both agencies through one mechanism. We currently fund the Country Fire Authority through a separate program on our own, but this levy doesn't offset anything that we do.
It's the Country Fire Authority that actually look after our municipality, is that right?
That is correct.
So we're only really basically a collection agency for the inner Melbourne.
It's about providing a holistic statewide fire service. But this is about collection for insurance purposes.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
For emergency services.
Councillors, any further questions? Do I have a mover for this motion? You have to.
I'll move it.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. Do I have a seconder?
I'll rise to second it as long as it's very clear on our rates what it is, the amount, and who it goes to.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Moving to item number 9, reports of committees.
No, Madam Mayor.
Item number 10, reports from delegates appointed by council to other bodies. 10.1, presentation of written and verbal reports from councillors in their role as delegates to other bodies. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I don't have any reports, but can I please just say a few words at an event that I attended on the 20th of May?
Go ahead, Councillor.
Thank you. I just wanted to say on the 20th of May, there was the biggest morning tea held in Diggers Rest. And I want to give a huge thank you and well done to Teresa Kennedy and David O'Connor, who were both organisers. The morning was absolutely fantastic. It was great to see so many residents from Diggers Rest come together. And I'd like you to all know that they rate, well, on the morning we raised $776. So I just want to say very well done to Teresa and David. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Borg. Councillor Ramsey.
Okay. Now, before anyone yells at me, this isn't a T-shirt for recognition of local government. It's recognition for our traditional owners of the land. Yesterday marked a very important milestone for the city of Melton, but also the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, because there was a... let's join... Oh, sorry, I'll find the paperwork. I apologise. Hang on. The Journey for Recognition was hosted by Melton City yesterday morning. And even though it was a small affair and it didn't cost a lot of money, there was a lot of emotion in the room. I want to thank our Deputy Mayor who was able in his busy schedule to join, because there wasn't going to be, because it started at 7 o'clock in the morning. There wasn't going to be a huge representation from council, but Councillor Turner was able to be there. Our CEO, our general managers and council staff all need to be congratulated, but Matt and Francesca especially from the department need to be paid homage to, because the way they conducted themselves was absolutely sensational. What happened was the Journey for Recognition left Federation Square on foot, and they're walking around Australia, going from suburb to from municipality to municipality to express their cause and tell the stories. We had Melton Primary School there yesterday with a very passionate plea about Mr. Cooper and an Indigenous elder. We had Ron James from the Wurundjeri Indigenous Elder, Byron Powell from the Wathaurong Indigenous Elder, Tim Gartrell from Recognise, Aidan Ridgway, a former Senator, and Fred Cheney, who was tied with his wife after walking 26 kilometres yesterday from the day before from Federation Square to Melton. But there was a delegation from the Melton City Council and myself, who did only about 200 metres, mind you, but we joined them on their walk towards Bacchus Marsh. They were terribly grateful for absolutely everything we'd done, and to anyone that was able to listen to the Skins Choir and the Louds group yesterday would have been terribly moved by everything that was said and done on the day. And Madam Mayor, they've given Melton City Council a certificate, but they wanted to thank the City Council because they said if everybody treated them the way Melton City did yesterday, their journey would be a really easy one. And so they wanted me to pass on my sincerest thanks to Council and also the relevant departments. So if you could thank Adam, Matt and Francesca for me. And thank you, Mr. Heaney, for coming on the walk with me.
Aye.
Sorry? Oh, that was tiring, wasn't it? Okay, now another, there was about eight committees that I went to. I mean, we've already debated about Jarrawarra Festival. There was the policy review. There was a number of them that were already on the agenda. But I want to highlight, and I do this every month, but I want to bring it to everybody's attention. Fatality Free Friday is this Friday, and Wednesday the 29th at the Courthouse Plaza. Over lunchtime, I want everybody that's free and available to get down there and sign the pledge, because at the moment we were travelling really, really well, but we've had two more deaths in the municipality over the last month. And it's very saddening to see. We're leading the tally now, and it's not a tally I want to be first in. It's scary, but to bring it to everybody's attention, we want them to drive safely every day, but to come down, sign a pledge that Fridays will be fatality free, and we want to, it's going nationwide, but we want to basically put Melton on the map, and we want to get as many people as we can to get down there to the courthouse over lunchtime on Wednesday the 29th and sign this Wednesday and sign tomorrow actually and sign the pledge. There were 34 impoundments during the month. There have been special operations, so anyone who drives around Melton will see that. But look, excessive speeds coming down, but there is still one person driving over 70 kilometres per hour. Now, if I can catch them, but I'd have to be doing more to do that. So please be mindful of the speeds you have, and please let's get these numbers down, because it means a lot to the community. The Community Learning Board is going through its action plan, but is looking forward to the new library being launched over the next couple of weeks, and I think everybody in Melton's very excited about that. Another thing that I just wanted to touch on, Madam Mayor, if I may, if anyone needs any further information, look, because the federal budgets and state budgets that are coming out, Lead West and Western Melbourne Tourism, a few other people have all been sending different things through. There's a whole heap of paperwork, as was on the agenda. If you need any further information from any of those, I'm quite happy to provide it. There's the introduction of five protective service officers at Melton Station. That was earlier in the month, and that is so exciting because we had them from mid-afternoon till the last train every day, 7 days a week, and that's going to be fantastic because people will now start feeling safe around the Melton Railway Station. And it was one of the notorious hotspots for crime. Now with the five protective service officers, hopefully that will alleviate people's concerns. And there's five dashing young men down there, and they will walk you to the car if you feel unsafe. And with the ceiling and some additional lighting, it's going to go a long, long way. So thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. I've just got a few brief words. I attended the policy review panel meeting with Councillor Ramsey and Councillor Dunn, which was on tonight's agenda. And I also attended the local government ministerial mayor's advisory panel, where we just briefly spoke about the state budget and what that means for local government. The state government has attained its AAA rating, which is very positive for Victorians as a whole in regards to investors. Also, discussion around the $6.1 billion infrastructure for the East-West Link, which we were hoping to be West-East Link. We discussed the Metropolitan Planning Strategy and its key initiatives and what that means for Victoria with a projected growth population from 5.6 million to 6.5 million by 2051. And I've also been asked to participate in the Governance and Councillor Conduct Panel, which will be a great opportunity to have input into any legislation reforms around governance issues. Thank you, councillors. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a
couple of things. Start down here. On the 15th of May, I attended the Municipal Emergency Management Planning Committee. It was a desktop exercise in the evening. The exercise was an imagination of a severe flood event happening in Melton, actually happening in Arnold's Creek. All the main services were there on the night, police, SES, CFA, and they went through a trial event. We worked out really well in the evening. We didn't lose anybody, which was really good. Nobody got drowned at their desk, so that was a good night. I'll just keep it brief. On the Thursday, the 2nd of May, a recent Western Region Council forum held in Hobsons Bay. I accepted a presentation from the Honourable Nicola Roxon, returned federal member for Gellibrand, who was a special guest at that forum. Ms. Roxon presented to each of the councils of the Western Region an Australian flag that had flown on the flagpole at Parliament House, with the flag presented to Melton Council having flown above the Parliament House on the 8th of December 2004. The presentation of the Australian flag from Ms. Roxon was an acknowledgement of the support and contribution made by each of the councils of the Western Region to herself during the years as a federal parliamentarian, and particularly as a Minister of Health and Attorney General. Madam Mayor, I'd like to present to you and Council the Australian flag, which I trust will now be displayed in a prominent position within the Civic Centre.
Thank you, Councillor Turner.
Thank you.
Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended on the 13th of May the Ravenhall Prison Project Community Advisory Group with Councillor Dunn. Just some things were confidential, so we won't be able to discuss it, but I can say that there was a presentation of some architects in regards to the prisons that have changed over the centuries, and the philosophy that has gone behind the designs of the correctional facilities. The links between the three prisons and the new prison will be a medium security prison. Prisoners to move around during the day and after hours, they'll be secured to their bedrooms. We spoke about, there was discussions about the security measures, energy and control designs, and also SkyGlow. And that'd be it.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I forgot one vital one, and I'm really, really sorry, but if I could have 2 seconds to just touch on this one.
Yes.
The Suburb Neighbouring Committee met its inaugural committee met, and I want to thank Dan Hogan and his team and the governance for putting it together. I want the community out there now. There's 31 suburbs, 11 of which out there wanting a name, and I want the community to start thinking about names that they would like to put into the process. The committee are going to be delegated with coming up with a shortlist that will come to council, but I want the community out there to really give it some thought and see what best reflects what natural wonders there are in those specific areas that we may name that suburb after.
Thank you, Councillor.
But it doesn't mean the City of Melton name change.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moving on to 10.2, parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor. I've actually received a letter from the Honourable Terry Mulder, MP, Minister for Public Transport, Diggers Rest Railway Station. And it states that that the Honourable Terry Mulder MP has raised the issues and the concerns with the Public Transport Victoria, PTV, and he says that while Diggers Rest was upgraded as part of the Sunbury electrification project, PTV informs me this is primarily as a means to prepare the station for future growth. Station patronage is currently low. PTV advises that toilets are closed when stations are unattended It is unlikely that this will change due to the difficulty in keeping toilets at unstaffed stations clean and safe for the passengers to use. So not a very positive letter, councillors and members of the gallery. And it was unfortunate that it was in regards to the men's and women's toilets being opened for public use. 10.3, record of assembly of councillors attached to this agenda in accordance with section 80A1 of the Local Government Act 1989. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the record of assembly of councillors attached to this agenda dated 7th and 14th of May 2013 be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a second?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? No? I declare it carried. Oh, sorry. The recommendation is that the parliamentarian... There's a recommendation here that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted. So can I have a motion
I'd like
for
to
that?
Move that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder for that motion?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Sorry, councillors, I went ahead of myself. 10.3. Let's find how it was done.
We've done that.
Moved and seconded. And agenda item 11, notices of motion. 11.1, notice of motion 360, Councillor Turner, community consultation with councillors. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this motion that council consider extra sessions to allow residents more options to have their questions heard face-to-face by elected councillors.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor who seconds the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
This is just to consider extra sessions, is that right?
That's what I told you half an hour ago, yes.
Councillor.
But you didn't do it in public, so I wanted to share the love. Because with meeting procedure the way it's currently structured and without the time limit, there are currently people can ask two questions. You want to come back on another night. You're considering coming back on another night. Is that the case?
Councillor Turner.
The motion says that council consider extra sessions to allow residents and more options to have their questions heard face-to-face by elected councillors. The idea behind this was quite often on briefing nights, not tonight, of course. We are inundated with questions. And we get to the stage where we're so inundated we have to go home, to go to bed, then we can come back on another night and finish them.
Councillors, any further questions or clarification around this motion? Moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Borg. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. I'll just rise, councillors, for 11.2, notice of motion 361. Potential educational site in Burnside, and I move that council write to the state government and the Minister for Education that the potential educational site in Burnside should be in the form of a P-12 SDS, special development school, due to the lack of schools available for children with special needs within the area. Do I have a seconder?
I second that.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification? Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. I'd also like to rise for motion number 11.3, notice of motion 362, Anzac Day Dawn Services in the Melton and Caroline Springs area. And I move that the next council meeting, a report is given to council about the potential support of this council assisting financially in both Anzac Day Dawn Services in the Melton and Caroline Springs area, particularly around the upcoming centenary service. Do I have a councillor who seconds the motion?
I second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a councillor who requires any further clarification? Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 12, councillors' questions without notice. Do I have any councillors who has any questions? Number 13, motions without notice. Councillors, I actually have a notice, motion without notice, that that A, Council requests Springbank City Council to include in its integrated transport strategy, I, road connectivity through Rockbank Middle Road for further future construction, which will allow direct connectivity between both municipalities, and II, the duplication of Taylor's Road, and B, Melton City Council support Springbank City Council in their advocacy to the state government to improve the King's Road / Taylor's Road roundabout, which is over-congested and dangerous. Councillors, do I have any other motions without notice? Any urgent business? Item number 15, confidential business. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that pursuant to Section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that, Madam
Thank
Mayor.
You, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for attending. Please help yourself to some tea and coffee, and we hope to see you next month.